Today on Maine Calling, the future of AI data centers in Maine. An unprecedented construction boom is underway as huge data centers designed to fuel artificial intelligence platforms are going up too quickly to count. It's estimated that there are already more than 12,000 AI data centers worldwide and more than 5,000 here in the U.S. Most are in population centers, like Northern Virginia and Texas, but increasingly they're coming to rural America. And here in Maine, they're controversial. I'm Jennifer Rooks, today on Maine Calling, where Maine stands and what the future holds. The Maine legislature just passed a moratorium on new large-scale data centers. The bill currently sits on Governor Mills' desk. We'll explore why some communities embrace them and others say, no thank you. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And Highland Green, committed to fostering a resident-driven, active lifestyle community for those 55 and better. HighlandGreenLifestyle.com. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping Northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com. And North Yarmouth Academy, a 2025 AP Platinum School recognized by College Board, inviting families to tour campus, shadow a student, and explore its new dormitory.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There is a lot of talk right now about artificial intelligence, or AI. People fear it is taking over our lives, and in many places, they worry that AI data centers are taking over their communities. Maine is poised to become the first state to put the brakes on these large, high-tech facilities. The legislature just passed a moratorium on them, which now sits on the governor's desk. Joining me to talk about the status of AI data centers in Maine are Jack Shapiro, who is Climate and Clean Energy Director for the Natural Resources Council of Maine, and Patrick Woodcock, President and CEO of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. We invite you to join the conversation. Is your town the site of a potential data center? How do you feel about these large-scale tech centers? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Jack, Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. First, I'm going to turn to Maine Public climate reporter Peter McGuire, who's going to join us to give us a bit of an overview of what's happening with AI data centers in Maine. Thank you so much for calling in, Pete.
My pleasure. Good morning, Jen.
Okay, we know that AI data centers are sweeping the nation and, in fact, the world. What are these? Why is there such a surge in demand for them?
Yeah, so a data center basically just kind of contains the guts of our digital world. I mean, it's the networks and the servers and all the other equipment that kind of does all the stuff we like to do on the internet, on streaming services, on social media. But generative AI has kind of just supercharged demand for these because the computing power of these programs is so immense that they need much bigger centers, many, many more of them. So I think that's why we're seeing so much this issue rise to the top of the heap of people's attention, just because they're becoming so much more apparent with the growth of AI.
And Maine is a little bit late to this. If you compare it to states like Texas or Virginia, but there has suddenly been a lot happening here. What towns have already considered an AI data center? Which have said yes? Which have said no? What could happen next?
Sure. So the only project right now that seems to be absolutely moving forward is a fairly small scale center in the former Loring Air Force Base in northern Maine. There have been a couple other proposals, including a fairly fleshed out plan in Lewiston that provoked a lot of local outrage and led the city council to unanimously defeat it or turn it down. Something similar happened in Wiscasset, where there was a proposal to put forward a data center that also was kind of not well received by the town. And then you have two kind of existing projects, one in Jay and one in Sanford. The Jay project, again, I think you'll hear about later in the hour, seems to be the furthest along. And Sanford, you know, seems to kind of be more of a proposal or a plan than a really fleshed out development at this point.
And I want to ask you, I want to go back to the one that seems to be in progress at the former Loring Air Force Base up in Limestone. You said fairly small scale. How small is small scale?
Sure. So the moratorium that was just passed by the legislature has a cap of 20 megawatts. And, you know, the developers have said in Loring that seems that they can live within that for the time being. And maybe they could expand, maybe double that capacity up there. But some of these other ones we're talking about are on the tune of, you know, small cities. And that's certainly not what the Loring project is scaled to be.
All right. So we know that Maine passed, the Maine legislature, which just wrapped up its session, passed a moratorium on the growth of data centers in Maine. What does a moratorium do? You mentioned the 20 megawatt limit. What else would it do?
Yeah, so we would extend for about 18 months until late 2027. And during that time, there would be this coordination council that would come together with stakeholders, experts, environmental groups, et cetera, to kind of come up with rules of the road for data centers in Maine that protect electric customers from increasing rates, that consider environmental consequences of these centers, and really try to set forward, some guidelines and even maybe some legislation as to how these facilities would be built in the state moving forward.
And do we know if Governor Mills will sign this legislation or if she'll veto it? Do we have an answer from her?
I have asked and have yet to receive an answer. I know that she has reservations, especially with the impact that this would have on the project in Jay. And so we're waiting to see what comes of it.
Peter, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we will return to this topic and have you back again. Maine Public climate reporter Peter McGuire. Turning now to our guests, Jack Shapiro and Patrick Woodcock. Patrick, I'll start with you. Those who support AI data centers generally point to the jobs and economic development they bring. You lead the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, so those are priorities of yours, jobs and economic development. What do you think generally, though, about AI data centers? Are they a home run?
Well, I'll start by saying that every community should have a transparent process of any development. We honestly want to have a process that the community supports it. And I think there are novel questions that this development will provoke in communities. However, when I look at this type of development, I see our existing environmental frameworks yielding that transparency, providing a process for the public to have those questions answered. So yes, I generally, the Maine State Chamber of Commerce would put a very high standard at creating a moratorium for development. I think there should be a really novel use cases that really would require the state to review a new type of development. I don't see that applied here with data centers. And ultimately, we should be open for the type of new investments in these former industrial sites.
So just to be clear, Patrick, what you're saying is that you would be okay with some sort of moratorium, that it's okay to be thoughtful about this, but just not this one. You are opposed to this particular bill that just passed the legislature.
Well, ironically, we the Maine State Chamber of Commerce supported the original legislation that created a study to look at how to overcome any new energy and environmental challenges for data center development. We do not support this moratorium. We think that we can certainly mitigate any energy or environmental any consequences from development while also creating best practices. This is the wrong signal if we ultimately want to have development occurring in the state.
Okay. And Jack, I understand that you're not completely opposed to all AI data centers, but you do want to talk about the environmental impact that they can have and how it's important to think about this deeply. So tell us about that. What is the environmental impact of a large AI data center?
Yeah, I think there's environmental impacts. There's also the impacts on our energy system as well, and potential climate impacts that could come along with this kind of development. I mean, I think the big risk that we see with data center development, and again, like you said, we're not opposed to all data center development. We just want to make sure that we get it right, because there are some risks to the environment and particularly to ratepayers. I think the thing that we're concerned about is that the potential size of these data centers, again, not like the modestly sized sort of Loring project that Pete mentioned earlier, but the size of some of the ones that are being proposed elsewhere and we could see coming to Maine, means that there's going to be a lot of electric infrastructure that's needed to power these data centers. They have huge electricity demand to power those the models that they're running and and what they're supporting. And normally the cost of that electric infrastructure gets passed on to all of the rest of us ratepayers, right? So if we are not careful, we could see these data centers sort of eating up the grid capacity and the electricity supply that we have already paid for, and putting new burdens on ratepayers.
So just to be clear, is what you're saying two parts here, that part of it is that each large-scale AI data center would need infrastructure, it'd need big lines coming to it, the Central Maine Power or Versant, and would charge all of us for those lines, not just the data center. That's a concern. But then also just the basic economics of supply and demand. If they're eating up so much of the supply, then the cost will go up. Yes? Is that correct, what you're saying?
Yeah, and so our one of the reasons why we're supportive of this bill and the work of the council that's created in the bill that will do its work while the pause is in place, is to make sure that we get all those things right. Right. Make sure that we're being really thoughtful, making sure that these data centers are bringing their own new clean energy supplies to power their operations, and making sure that they're paying their own way in terms of the infrastructure, because these are really deep pocketed developers. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, OpenAI, Amazon, you know, Facebook or Meta, you know, we shouldn't be lowering our standards or footing the bill for that kind of development.
So, and Patrick, I think, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think to Patrick's point, if we want to be supportive of the economic development that or jobs that could potentially come with these data centers, then I think we're going to get more of that community buy-in if we have that kind of framework in place. And I think that's one of the reasons why we think it makes sense.
Well, and Patrick, I want to talk about the electricity costs to you, because there is no business in Maine that wants to see its electricity costs go up. Is that a concern of yours?
Well, absolutely. The state needs to address our energy costs. However, I think it's exactly the wrong approach not to add electric load. That actually reduces, you're adding a customer. And Jack's right, you have to be careful about that they wouldn't be exacerbating our infrastructure costs. But actually, one of the reasons why our electrical costs have gone up is that we've lost industrial demand. Our industrial demand, commercial demand, is down about 15% across the state, where in other states, they've seen 30, 40% growth. Those are customers that are not contributing to the fixed costs of our electrical infrastructure, not paying for the costs of our public policies. So in the effort to get this perfect, we are saying no to very modestly sized projects. These are not the hyperscalers, unless Jack's aware of any, that are approaching Maine for a gigawatt size project that would come close to adding 50% to our electric load. These are modestly sized projects at existing industrial sites that will start contributing to paying for our fixed costs for the electrical infrastructure. It is the wrong approach if we actually want to lower our electric rates.
Jack, are there I've read, and I don't know if they actually exist or if this is just theoretical. Are there AI data centers that are creating their own, generating their own electricity, just as mills used to do back in the day?
Well, what we're seeing elsewhere in the country is a whole wide variety of different approaches. There are places where data centers are being powered from the grid and it's causing real strain. You mentioned Virginia as one of those places. Texas, from an electricity standpoint, is kind of its whole own kettle of fish there. But we're seeing some real kind of like nightmare scenarios where data centers are putting out, hundreds of diesel, like tiny diesel generators in shipping containers outside with all kinds of like, air pollution and sound pollution and other issues. So it runs the gamut of what these facilities are doing. I think what we would want to see here in Maine is, and I agree with Patrick to a great degree. I mean, having new customers to share in the cost of the system is correct, and that's why we put out a couple of things in our testimony on this bill and on our website about some of the potential opportunities that could come with this development for the energy system. But we really do have to make sure that we put that framework in place. Otherwise, we're not likely to get it. We don't believe we're not likely to get it voluntarily. So, if we want to make sure that we're seeing new clean energy supply come with these new demands, so that they're not competing for, the natural gas supply that is already a big driver of electricity costs in Maine or other things like that. So, we think there's opportunity there, but we really got to get the framework right.
Let's talk about jobs, Patrick. You said that you are hopeful that the new data center that would be on the location of the old mill in Jay does come to fruition. How many jobs would it actually create? What kind of jobs would they be? Where would those employees come from? Are they people, is it something we could train locals to do, or is this something people from other places moving to these communities to run these data centers?
Well, a local Maine construction firm has been identified to do that project. So that would be local jobs in the construction. The aspect for a lot of these communities is the property taxes. And it has been catastrophic when they've lost industrial producers, our paper mills. And these communities are really looking for injection that adds the property taxes. And, it really should be these communities' decisions. As noted, there have been some communities that have said no. There are some communities that are saying yes. The problem with a moratorium is it precludes a community from deciding. It precludes any community from addressing any of the current concerns through a Department of Environmental Protection. The issue is that this is at a nascent level in Maine, and similar to demand for our electrical grid from electric vehicles or heat pumps, there are best practices that we need to develop over time, but it is not overwhelming our electrical system. These are things that we should continue to have best practices, but I'd remind folks that our peak usage of electricity in New England occurred in 2006. We have a lot of room for additional electrical demand because we have lost our job producing industrial base in the state.
Sure, and I hear your point about electricity. I want to return to what we talked about, what it might mean for communities. You said the big factor is property taxes, but I want to re-ask the question about jobs. Do we know how many jobs a AI data center would create?
I think it comes
Long
down to
term,
the
not
individual.
construction. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it comes down to the individual development. A lot of these would not be long-term jobs, but again, a lot of these communities are looking to stabilize their finances, have any injection in the capital to ensure that there is a new contributor to their property taxes in a community.
All right. And Jack, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I guess I'd just say, The This isn't a permanent ban on data centers, right? This is a little over a year for, in time for us to get a policy framework right. So I think that's sort of important to keep in mind. But the second thing is, while I think it's right that the communities should have the primary say, a local community doesn't have the authority to protect ratepayers, right? They don't have that kind of those kind of levers to pull. If we're trying to make sure that we're safeguarding ratepayers against against increased electricity prices.
All right, well, we're going to hear from the sponsor of the legislation in just a minute. We are going to first take a quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about AI data centers. Some people see them as good for the economy, some worried about how they will affect the environment, and a lot of conversations in between. My guest for this hour, Patrick Woodcock, who is president and CEO of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, and Jack Shapiro, climate and clean energy director for the Natural Resources Council of Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What are your questions about what's proposed and what it looks like across the country? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or comment on Facebook or Instagram. As promised, calling in now State Representative Melanie Sachs, who's a Democrat from Freeport who chairs the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee. Thanks for joining us, Representative Sachs.
Thanks so much for having me today.
What prompted the bill that you introduced?
Well, as you said, I'm the House Chair of the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee, and Governor Mills, rightly so, put together a Maine AI task force, and they issued their report in fall of 2025. I, of course, being a nerd, read it cover to cover, and there were two pieces that I found really, really interesting in that report. The first was right on page two in the executive summary. It talked about how Maine people specifically had fears around energy-intensive data centers, which could impact local energy and water infrastructure. But also on page 21 of that same report, it talked about the need to, quote, develop a playbook for responding to data center development project opportunities while ensuring that that supports state goals. And so with that, did a bunch of research and put forward this bill in the second session.
Yeah, you know, Maine is the first to pass a moratorium, or would be if the governor signs the bill, but not the first state to consider this issue and think about it deeply. What have we learned from other states that may be applicable here in Maine?
And that's exactly the point. Right now, states, we've seen, we have research, we have case studies about what happens when rapid deployment of these projects outpaces policy. And that has led to states trying to claw back provisions that enabled them to proliferate unchecked. It has shown just incredible impacts to communities, on ratepayers, and on their environment. And so this is the thoughtful, pragmatic approach, I believe, to make sure our regulatory framework meets the moment.
All right. And Representative Sachs, I'm wondering if you've heard from many of your constituents or others as you've been going through this process, and what are you hearing from people?
Thousands of people have been engaged in this bill, which is incredible for any issue, particularly in the second session. And these concerns about protecting Maine's amazing natural environment, about community engagement, about ratepayer protections and our grid resilience and reliability are the things I hear about the most, as well as limited economic development for these projects. And I do want to make the point that I heard your panelists say, which is it's beyond just the locality where these projects are located. They have impacts far beyond just the property tax base of one community.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's State Representative Melanie Sachs. She's a state representative from Freeport, and she was behind the bill that passed the legislature that would put a moratorium on AI data centers. I want to return to one point, and I'll turn to you, Jack. We've talked a lot about electricity, but over and over you're hearing people talk about the how much water these use. Explain that. Why do AI data centers use water?
Yeah, I mean, most of it is for cooling. So the inside a data center of any size, whether it's the kind that have been around for decades hosting websites, or whether it's a new giant AI data center, the servers generate heat, and they need to be cooled. And so the larger the scale of the data center, the larger the water use that that you could use. I mean, I think the thing to reflect on is really every project should really be taken on its own, for its own proposal. For example, the project in J at the mill there would actually probably use less water than the mill used to use. So I think there's some, it is important that as we look through these sort of policy processes, that we're taking into account the actual proposals that are in front of us and putting together the frameworks around those. But that's the fundamentals of the water use for data centers.
We'll go to Scott, who's calling from Belmont. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. It's a fascinating subject, and increasingly, all the communities across our country and around the world are going to be dealing with it one way or another. One of the big concerns I have is the focus on using energy sources that may or may not be good to the environment, good for the economy, good for jobs, and so forth. And what we've seen in the last 20 years or so, I spent my life on a national career on energy policy. What we've seen in the last 20 years is a dramatic shift away from fossil fuels, which of course create a tremendous amount of CO2, and away from nuclear power, which has all kinds of problems. One of the biggest being its economic issue. Lazard, which is the premier
Scott,
energy
we have
analyst
so
for.
many calls. I need to ask you
Oh, I'm
to
sorry.
speed up
Okay, so
and ask your question quickly.
okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, so the issue is how are you gonna power this? And we have, let alone the problems with AI we might have specifically, but using renewable energy efficiency would be the way to go. But the proposals around the country are, oh, let's put these new small modular reactors, which are five times more expensive than renewables, according to Wall Street, and that it provides,
Okay,
there's
Scott,
no
I think I've
guarantee
got
that.
your point. Patrick, is this something that you've heard of being proposed for Maine to have these small modular nuclear reactors powering these data centers?
Well, not at all. The projects in Maine, and I think that's the real disconnect, is there are some national conversations that are worth having on the expansion of data centers that are gigawatts in size. There have been nuclear power plants that have been proposed to come back online to serve data centers, an advent of a next generation of nuclear power plants. The scale in Maine, we're talking about extremely modest projects that are a tenth of the size of these projects. So we are, I want to be clear that let us not impede small level development while we watch national conversations occur that are really not occurring in the state of Maine.
All right.
I do
Yeah.
think so. Yeah, I do think that those issues are occurring nationally, but not here in Maine.
All right, Scott, thanks for your question. On the line with us now is Tony McDonald, who is a commercial developer and partner with Bulis Company. He is involved with that data center we've been mentioning, the project in J. Thanks for calling in, Tony.
Sure. How are you today?
Good. Describe the proposed data center project. Would it actually be inside of the property that was the mill?
Yeah, we're taking an existing legacy industrial site and simply reutilizing it. One of the reasons we purchased this property and we're attracted to its redevelopment potential is the heavy industrial infrastructure in place, including the electrical, which is in place. Because the paper mill, as you might expect, used a lot of power. So we're just really plugging into an existing infrastructure and using that.
And what's the timeline for it?
Well, we're supposed to start our demolition work. When I say demolition, that's stripping equipment out of the building, the second week of July.
And when would it be complete?
I'm obligated to have the building stripped out by the end of this calendar year, and the data center folks would start installing their equipment. They'd do that through 27, and it would be online in first quarter of 28.
All right. Well, what do you say to people who have concerns about data centers generally in terms of energy use, water use, or environmental harm?
Yeah, I say look at the facts on this particular project and what's going on in Maine versus what's going on elsewhere. I will say right up front, I understand what they're concerned about. A lot of what's happening elsewhere in the country, to me, is really unimaginable. Maine is one of the most highly regulated states in the country, if not the most highly regulated state in the country as far as developing projects. I just don't know how this is happening in other parts of the country. But it's not happening here. What we're doing here is we're utilizing the power that's already available at that spot. We're not upgrading the grid. We're not looking to change transmission lines, et cetera. And as a result, there's no cost being passed on to ratepayers for improving the grid here. In fact, this project's going to reduce ratepayers' costs. On average, the typical household in a CMP service district, their costs will go down about $7 a year. That's not a lot. But the point is, we're not increasing power costs. We're decreasing them. Water is another concern that people have in other parts of the country when these projects go in, and I get it. But here, we're going to be using less than 1% of the water that the paper mill was using. So we've really got a very gentle footprint on the infrastructure here because it was such a heavy industrial site anyway.
And so, Tony, you know, we've all heard that the governor has said that she would have liked to carve out in this bill for your project, for the Jay project that did not pass. If she does sign this moratorium, if it goes into effect, would you wait? Would the project be built afterwards, after the moratorium is, the new regulations go into place and there's a change?
No, our project would be dead.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling. Tony McDonald, a commercial real estate developer with Bulis Company. We'll go to John calling from Portland. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Hey, I wanted to ask about the towns and cities that may desire these data centers. Are they offering these developers tax incentive financing?
Ah, good question. And a couple people in email are wondering the same thing. Patrick, you want to jump in on that one?
I mean, that is a typical step within any economic development project. I won't get into the specifics of that. That's ultimately up for that municipality to decide as economic development goes. But yes, I mean, a lot of municipalities do tend to offer some type of TIF or a reduction in taxes to lower development. I'm not aware of the specifics with the J facility though. And I my understanding is that it would be a contributor for the property taxes immediately as it was developed.
John, thanks for your call. A question here from Sue on Facebook. I've read that they are considering a facility in the waters off of Eastport. Do you have any information about the impact, specifically heat, on fisheries and wildlife? Jack, is that true? Is there a facility being considered for offshore, off of Eastport?
Yeah, I'm really glad someone brought this up because I think it brings up a really important point about some of these developments. What the commenter is talking about is a proposal for an underwater data center that would be powered by tidal turbines off of Eastport. And our view of that is that it's highly speculative. The difficulty of building underwater infrastructure and building tidal infrastructure, there are real challenges there. But what I think it illustrates is that, you know, the data center boom that we're in the midst of around the country is it's the biggest flow of capital since the railroad boom in the 19th century. So there is a lot of speculation going on. My guess is that, you know, that project will never come to pass. But in the meantime, there's a lot of, it sort of can freak out the local community. There's a lot of sort of work that has to be done to sort of better understand it. And I think that's what brings us back to getting this policy framework in place. Because were you to have certain proposals go forward where there are infrastructure costs that are incurred that everyone has to pay for, and you see a bubble burst at some point in the future, we're all going to be on the hook for that unless we can really be sure that these companies that are that are making these proposals are required to pay their own way. Now, that's clearly not the case for something like the facility in Jay, right? Like that's a project that's ready to go, that's pretty well thought out. But that's part of the difficulty of drawing these lines as we go through the legislative process about what kinds of things are exempted and how do we move forward for taking care of this issue in a more holistic way.
We're talking about AI data centers and what could come to Maine. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about AI data centers. Is having them in Maine inevitable? We're learning about them and why they're controversial in Maine and across the country. With me, Jack Shapiro with the Natural Resources Council of Maine and Patrick Woodcock with the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. Share your comments and questions. Send an email, talk@mainepublic.org. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Joe calling from Augusta. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer, Jack, and Patrick. Thanks for having this conversation today. I just wanted to say that Maine really has a chance to become a national leader in rewriting how these projects are developed and implemented. We're seeing national trends of growing community resistance to data center development that have already taken place in Maine. And frankly, we don't think that this is good for anybody. Developers lose out on projects they've dedicated time, energy, and resources to. Residents lose faith in civic processes, and any semblance of progress is promised by AI integration. Their economic, civic, and social lives is put on hold. And as my organization sees it, Grow Smart Maine, this is a direct result of the public being excluded from the planning processes that are associated with these projects and being kept out of decisions about really salient topics and direct impacts on local natural
Joe,
resources.
Joe, it sounds as though Grow Start Maine, do you support the moratorium?
Yeah, we do. We do support the moratorium and LD 307, and really are appreciative of the leadership that Representative Sachs showed sponsoring this bill, because we really believe that resetting the kind of development paradigm around these projects is essential going forward to ensure that public benefits come out of data center development here in the state. And we see it as really the only way to resolve a systemic tension that's happening right now in the development process, in which the public is shut out of opportunities to impact the planning of projects until they land on town or city council dockets.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Joe, calling from Grow Start, Maine. Another email here. This is from Jack. Circling back to the idea of modular nuclear power, he says, "I seem to recall that the legislature passed some kind of study or regulatory framework allowing for modular nuclear power plants to be built, and it seemed to come out of nowhere." Patrick, you have stated that this is not something that you're hearing about as a possibility in Maine. Jack, I didn't ask you, is this something you're hearing about as a possibility in Maine? Is there a reason this is being studied?
The nuclear power in Maine is probably a whole another episode, Jen, that we could get into.
But do
We
you
haven't
believe, I mean,
seen.
everything's moving so fast. Do you believe that even though there's not a proposal now, there could be one and sooner than we expect?
Well, Maine has a statewide referendum requirement for new nuclear facilities, so I don't think it's something that would get proposed out of the blue. But I do think, as Patrick mentioned around this, there are companies that are paying to restart the Three Mile Island nuclear facility. There is a lot of money behind the construction of data centers around the country. And I think our takeaway from that is just that if we have standards that we want to apply, that we want to make sure that these kinds of developments are consistent with all of the other needs and goals that we have as a state, whether that's for clean energy or being less dependent on imported fuels or these other things, we should go ahead and put those standards in place. Because the companies that are behind this can certainly afford to meet those standards, whatever they are.
We'll go to AJ calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, AJ. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Earlier, when one of the participants mentioned using the water in Jay, and the new project would use less water than the Jay Mill did, what they didn't specifically mention was the environmental impact of putting heated water back into the river, which by its nature will continue to kill the river just like polluting it did. So has anybody addressed that?
Good question. Thank you. We also have an email from Rob asking the same question. Jack, given the scale of the project in Jay, do you believe it will change the water temperature in the river?
I will admit I'm mostly coming to this from the clean energy side, so I'm not a water expert, but my understanding is that the water would be heated. I couldn't tell you what the water temperature was from what came out of the mill back when that was operating. So that's something that I really couldn't answer, but it is important to look at the specifics of all of these proposals and make the judgment on the merits. I do think that that's true.
All right, AJ, thank you. Bill asks, if the moratorium passes, and I will just rephrase that into if Governor Mills signs the bill, because it did pass. If the moratorium passes, is there anything in it to allow towns that want the data centers to decide for their own? And Patrick, you're shaking your head. No.
No, it's a statewide moratorium. Municipalities would be precluded from approving. No projects could be approved at a local or state level. And I just remind folks, all these questions would come up through an environmental review of these projects. We have an existing framework that isn't based on what widget you're building. It isn't based on the type of development. It is our site location development law applies to any development. And, you know, rather than moving to hysteria, you know, we should be basing these reviews on the facts and the actual proposals. So I am concerned, and you know, a lot of the questions are revealing this, that I think we're not applying a public policy to where Maine is with data center. We're applying it for conceptual ideas, what we've seen in other states, and we might preclude a very modest development in an area of the state that desperately needs economic development.
We'll go to Torbert calling from York. Hi, Torbert. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jennifer and guests. Jennifer, you said the key phrase of this entire hour. Things are going so fast, and they're going way too fast for a democracy, which is a cumbersome but necessary way of governing ourselves. We're up against the oligarchs here. Six of the seven richest men in the world are involved in AI. And of the $10 trillion companies, nine of them are in AI. The concentration of wealth and power is pushing politics in all the wrong directions. We need the moratorium and the time to reorient ourselves toward what the opportunity costs are. What else could we be doing with our capacity to accommodate these projects? What more human things could we be doing in the long run? This whole thing is going way too fast.
Torbert, thank you. And it sounds like, one, you support the moratorium, but you also don't trust the people behind these data centers. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes, you can't trust oligarchs. They have no interest in humanity, only in their own power.
All right. I'll let Patrick and Jack respond to that. Jack, you go first.
Well, I mean, we've heard some of this from our members as well, which is that, you know, there seem to be some substantial potential benefits of AI development, you know, scientific advancements and better weather prediction, or, you know, even in the energy world, sort of coordinating batteries and rooftop solar and other distributed energy resources as part of a climate solution. But what we're hearing is that people are really skeptical. I mean, what most people are hearing is that this is a technology that's creating junk online content. Maybe it'll take your job, and maybe it's going to raise your electricity rates too. And it's just a really tough pitch on the ground. And I think if we are to, you know, if for folks that support AI and the local development and economic development and jobs that it could bring, I think having the kind of counsel that Representative Sachs has proposed here is probably worth supporting to make sure that we do have that kind of framework and buy-in as we go forward.
Patrick, your thoughts on Torbert's point?
Well, let's be clear. Artificial intelligence is being used by households, businesses alike in Maine, regardless of whether we have data centers in Maine. The question before the legislature and the governor is, should we prohibit all development as we develop best practices to address large-scale development? Large-scale development has not been proposed. I would welcome, and I look forward to working with Jack on best practices for data center development or any industrial development to address Maine-specific energy challenges. We should be doing that. But let's not say no to modest economic development when a municipality is saying yes to it. That's the real question before the legislature and the governor. And I think we're missing the real impacts when we create these moratoriums that say no to any development.
Torbert, thanks for your call. An email here from John. Maine should pass a law that provides any data center drawing energy from the grid cannot cause an increase in electricity rates for the customers of Maine utilities. What do you think of that idea, Patrick?
That actually has been proposed. And that was an amendment that was proposed because these data centers, because of our reduction in industrial load, because of the great interconnection sites we have at former industrial facilities, they would lower the costs for ratepayers because they would be a new customer that is contributing to our fixed costs of the distribution system.
But what about the idea of making that explicit?
Absolutely. I mean, we want these to help Maine businesses that are struggling with energy costs, and adding industrial load can benefit ratepayers. One of the reasons our energy costs have gone up is we have lost our industrial consumers. That makes all the costs be borne by a smaller group of our household and businesses. So it actually is beneficial to increase electric load. Now, Jack and I would agree to, you also have to be thoughtful about peak usage. I think there's some best practices to be put in place. But saying no to industrial development is saying no to a pragmatic energy policy.
Yeah, Patrick and I agree much more than we disagree on many of these issues. You know, like the project in Jay was using an existing interconnection. Like, that's not the kind of project that we're concerned about from an energy cost perspective. On the other hand, the project in Sanford was proposing like a 300 megawatt power plant, you know, a gas powered power plant that would be powering that facility. And that opens up all kinds of questions about emissions, about fuel supply, about electric infrastructure that would be needed. So again, it's difficult. As we sort of weigh these things. But as Patrick mentioned, there was an amendment that would have put in place some of these safeguards. It probably would have allowed the J project to go forward. You know, that amendment went down by a 4-1 margin in the House when it came up. So the legislature sort of made their decision there. But there's a lot of different policy considerations and things that we want to make sure that we get right to make sure that we're getting the opportunity that comes from these kinds of investments while containing the risks that come along with them.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you are right. Representative Melanie Sachs sent another email in to follow up on our conversation with the developer of the Jay Project, and she did point out that that amendment was defeated soundly. And she points out that right now there are no standards for light, noise, greenhouse gas emissions for data centers in Maine. So there's more than just electricity cost at stake. And also she said there are agreements for 82 megawatts and they need much more. So Patrick, we have like 10 seconds. Go.
Well, let's be clear. The Department of Environmental Protection can impose limitations on projects. So to say that there aren't standards, we haven't had a project proposed that's gone through the regulatory process.
All right. Well, thank you. And we're clearly going to be talking about this topic more and more. Thank you both for joining us today. Patrick Woodcock, President and CEO of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, and Jack Shapiro, Climate and Clean Energy Director for the Natural Resources Council of Maine. Today's sound engineer is Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program for Earth Day, we're going to learn more about the growing reuse culture in Maine. Maine is a center for the reuse culture. It has been for a long time, far long before it was trendy. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.